Hi, everybody. Apologies for that. It's funny because I record audio on the Mac. I capture audio on the Mac that I stream on my PC. So I have to switch out the quarter connector cables, and that just makes it a really interesting show. This show is based on scotch tape and other wild stuff. So welcome to tonight's show. We try to make the talk show. Let me just close up stuff here. Get ready to roll up the show here. It's kind of funny because I had problems opening OBS when I was doing my news tech show, and I'm like, why the hell is this thing not working? I installed a 64-bit version. Now the 64-bit finally works. But then I will probably change it to, it'll crap out and all the time, so I'm going to install the 32-bit, and then the 32-bit will work for a month before I have to go reinstall it for the next. It's kind of funny, like, how all this stuff works. It's the Marconi Museum, as they say, right? If you get the joke of dysfunctional radio stations and the really bad management that radio stations can be, where they just running on really bare bones equipment. It's kind of like me. So on tonight's show, I want to talk about a couple different subjects, and then we'll get to the weekly Zoo Love and Relationships Hour. And I know that's a very popular feature. And then I'll talk, another subject we're going to talk about on this hour is just, I've been meaning to do this. I meant to do it last year. Didn't I do it in 2019? I don't think. My pet fish passed away on this day 7 years ago. August 10th or 11th, I forget. Whichever day the Robin Williams passed away from suicide. But that's not why I'm talking about that tonight. It just was something that I've been meaning to talk about. I just haven't had the right time or place. It's just coincidental that I've discussing these issues. So the first thing I wanted to get on tonight was all right, so I guess, all right, a couple more things before I start the show here. I don't have a graphic on the lower third. Oops, I'm going to fix that up. I might give you a second. Here. I'll put it in as housekeeping. I'll change the title at a later point here. So one thing here, the Color Classic is not being, where's my pointing finger? Is it right here? The Color Classic is a lost cause at the time of this stream, because I might have to open up the front keyskin in the hard drive. I don't think did I upload the video yet? Honestly, am I waiting to export? Oh, I have it queued up in Media Composer. I just got to export it. So I'll do it after tonight's show. Because I tend to do ingest and exporting when I'm asleep. So the Mac Mini is always on. This is a very, I try to get shows in and out, cuts, shows, and topic matters like as soon as possible. So I will get to that in tomorrow. But I like to just upload stuff at least once a week. Apparently my vlog in Milford got hit with a copyright trigger. It's hard to, like, in some places, like, these songs, like, if you're out in the public and you try to vlog, it's hard to do it because how can you drain out the sound in these freaking algorithms? All right, so without further ado, tonight's subject, like I said, it is deep in the matter, but I want to talk about it from not your standard frame of talking, not the popular view. This is like a popular view and an unpopular view, and so that's kind of what I wanted to do on tonight's the show. So the insurrection has been just over 7 months ago. And I'm just gonna throw a personal antidote to what happened that day. I was quarantined because I tested positive for COVID-19. On one hand, it was okay for me to watch the live shots as it happened because I had the freedom of choosing which channel, not to fit my narrative, to find out the information. And that was Shep Smith on CNBC, to be honest. I know Shep Smith gets a bad rap. So I basically was watching it alone. But on the flip side, I had people I could talk to about it, but it was like long distance over a phone or Zoom or FaceTime. It wasn't like I didn't feel close. And I just, the folks that I live with see it differently. I don't think I need to go further with that. And because I don't want to talk negatively about my family. I try to keep them off limits on the show here. But it's hard to talk about that because, you know, it's a con it's like it's it doesn't have to be controversial. Like anybody with a rational brain would completely condone it without any justification. Okay, like Antifa, right? Knowing how wacky and out of sync they can be, they didn't say anything. So that should tell you something right there. Now, some people in the media business had actually, I don't know how to describe this. I haven't seen the video since it aired, but Beat the Press, for example, on Channel 2, one of the panelists was saying at the time, I think. Was it the Friday after, which was 2 days after the fact? He's like, yo, I would have like had my crews out there because you know we knew something was going to happen. Now some skeptic would say, oh, the media wants this to happen, but on the flip side, the media doesn't want something to happen, but they're seeing something that could develop, right? It's I really don't like to be a cynic anymore. I'd rather be a skeptic because. The cynic rhymes with sin, S-I-N, right? There's something sinister. And this wasn't sinister. I think there was a lapse of judgment with the Capitol Police. And what the testimony from a couple of weeks ago should have woken up people to the fact that when they were comparing, because at least two, was it two cops served for our country? You know, I thought the right was all about serving their country. And they were more traumatic being fighting against people from within than they did when they served, you know, overseas. That should really wake people up. And this isn't Fallujah. This is United States of America. So you're hearing about some suicides happening with the U.S. Capitol Police Department, and I've heard in this household that it's like it doesn't make any sense. But if you're seeing something that people, and again, it was low rent, it was people like amateurs that don't know how to govern. These people don't know how to govern. So when you have the weirdos, like the guy that was shirtless, apparently is on the autistic spectrum. And he was using that as a defense, which I just think is such a slap in the face to anybody who has the commission, who would know right from wrong. I was disgusted. I think I posted on Instagram like, "What the actual fuck?" And it was very surreal because you ever see people right out the balconies climbing up the stairs or like. It was very weird because you don't see people in the masses right around all around the building like that. Because for typical people, they would be locked up or arrested. But again, if this is Black Lives Matter or any other group, they would have been shot and killed. or shot severely. Let's just face it. So I believe that those suicides are legitimate. But that's not the kind of the topic that I it's part of the baseline of talking about the unwritten cases of mental health disorders and what constitutes a mental health emergency. I don't think people are talking about this in this country. We keep saying that, well, you know, men die of silent desperation. Men die. Yeah, I love how they put gender to it. And that's not funny anymore. I don't know why. I don't know if we'll ever talk about it in a serious manner. You know, I want to talk a little bit about me, just to kind of frame this up so people are not thinking I got a couple loose nuts at this stream. I'm not drunk. I'm not stoned or anything like that. But what I fear here is that we're not talking about this like we should. It's like a taboo. We talk about poop. We talk about sex, but we don't talk about mental health. Okay? How many times do you see the poop emoji all over your social media or at freaking Five Below, but never in we talk about mental health? It shouldn't be a taboo anymore. And like I said, I'm not gonna talk much about myself except for a few things. There was a video that I posted as a vlog about a month ago, roughly. I think it was just about a month to this day, and I said something along the lines that I would rather die before my mother does and be buried and never forgotten to be forgotten. Okay, just an FYI, that's not a suicide. Okay, I had to disclose that right from there, so people aren't reading the wrong way. Some people wish they're dead, but they don't act upon it. There's two levels of that. Yes, I'm not going to minimize what has happened to people in the last year. I think there's some legitimacy to, you know, this mental health issue. But even before COVID-19, this was a problem. To the point that the National Suicide Hotline wants to, with permission with the FCC, coordination with the FCC, they're going to put 988 as the 3-digit number to, was it 1-800-232-8255? It's too bad. I think it's 232-8255. Forgive me if I got the wrong number. And that's really sad. If we're putting a 3-digit telephone number to the National Suicide Hotline, that's a problem. And the problem is, why the hell is 911 not doing this? Why the hell are PSAPs that are already the primary answering let me was it primary answering public safety? Oh God, I forgot what PSAP stands for. It's what happens when the on your light comes on, you get scared. But the emergency you know, the public safety, that's right, public safety answering point. There we go. See, we just had to talk out loud on it. But the PSAPs, they're already handling a lot of calls, obviously, but the problem is, if someone's in imminent danger, is 911 a better number to call? And who should respond to the calls? You know, I really thought it was really irritating when I don't know when every N11 number outside 911 and 411 came along. I have to like call up that information because I'm a telephony addict. Look at what you can't see in the camera frame, but I know 411 came around the divestiture because they had to separate the national directory assistance with local. But at some point, they wanted to do a short number for the phone company, a short number that would be 611, a short number for the teletypewriter. I do not use TTD. I find that to be ableist. I rarely use that word because the teletyper, the TTY, is both speech impaired and hearing impaired. And I, it, because it's a teletyper, call it for what it is. It's more, I talked about this to my friend in Montana that, you know, I recommend people use TTY because it is what it is. It's a teletypewriter and it encompasses multiple situations. It's a deaf people. That you got, right, so 711 is the relay, 611 is the phone company, 511 is the traffic and transit number, 411 is for directory, for local, 311 is the non-emergency number to City Hall. The if you have a fiery question with your city government, that's fine. And 211 is the Health and Human Services hotline. So between somewhere between 911, 311, and 211, suicide prevention could fit in one of those extremes. So why the hell do we have to create another number, a three-digit number, and then up our state, which I have a problem with it, because I read my 10-digit number anyways, because I know there's more to the world than just the 603, you know, NPA and stuff like that. But that's the problem. The other problem I have with 988 is, will Hollywood trivialize it the way that they did to 911? What I mean by that is that, you know, how many movies do you see these actresses, oh my God, call 911, call 911. And then you go to the scene where they call the 911 number and the public safety people come right on the scene. It's the same thing that happened to 988. And I think that is something to ask questions about. I know talk show hosts like Howie Carr and some other whack jobs would trivialize the suicide. Before the National Suicide Hotline, there used to be local, you know, seven-digit, you know, hotlines. I think the Samaritans was the longest one. And Howie Carr would trivialize that whenever one of our local teams would, you know, lose in the playoffs. He would tweet it out. And I find that just to trivialize mental health in 2021, there's no room for it anymore. There should be zero tolerance for it. And I think anybody who has even a developmental handicap as well should be pissed off. The reason why I say this is that some of these I call them anti-autism organizations, like the National Autism Association. A lot of these organizations I don't follow anymore in Georgia at the time, because I got a life to try to advocate for myself to a certain point. But the NAA used to say that 49% of everybody on the autism spectrum are at risk for wandering. Give me an effing break. Where's the FBI statistics? Because the FBI would have all this, because they have all the local police stuff. So, but it came from a university study like years ago. So you're not even getting an accurate number. Not to mention the autism and the 1 in 50 statistic. I've been meaning to talk about that. But again, if there were more people with autism, then my classmates that went to school in the 90s would not have only known me through school. They would have had at least one or two family members that had the condition, or had a friend of somebody who had the condition. Okay, you would be at least 3 degrees if the 1 in 50 was such. You know, I don't want to say it's overdiagnosis. I know a lot of people are skeptical of it, but for me, it just doesn't make no logical sense. About, and again, I don't want to hear the high functioning versus low functioning, because again, I've been exposed to probably 100 people on the spectrum in my last 20 something years. I can only name a few that are very high functioning and people that are really at high risk. The people that are not very verbal and somewhat functioning are probably the median of all the cases on the spectrum. And again, you know, a lot of people won't talk about this because a lot of the high functioning people tend to stay away from the low functioning people. So, and they're the ones that call you an ableist when you call them out for, you know, say that they're pride and arrogant, right? But going back to the statistics, it goes back to a lot of deaths on the autistic spectrum disorder involves wandering or drowning, because they're drawn to the water, but they don't have the safety risk. Or is it that they wanted to end their life? And I really want to ask that question in the utmost serious way, because I think people aren't wanting to talk about this. I think it's a taboo, even for people that don't speak. Oh, my cute little boy, my cute, 2-year-old baby boy would not have mental health issues because he has autism and he doesn't have any empathy and emotion. Are you fucking with me? Are you kidding me? You think your little cute little baby boy is gonna be a cute little baby boy forever? They turn into, like, manly monsters on some of the ends of the spectrum, in my opinion. But that's kind of what I think a lot of these autism parents will say. Oh, my cute little boy, he has autism. He can't be sad because he's a little boy. Boys don't get depressed. Really? Check back on me when your kid goes into adolescence and stuff like that. And again, I'm not trying to speak for every individual. Every individual is different. I understand there's extreme cases. I totally understand it. And I'm not minimizing it. But to paint those people with a broad brush ain't fair at all. But it's the other problem that I've heard on like radio, on the talk radio back in the you know, a few years back when there was a rash of shootings with former army or military, excuse me, people with former military backgrounds. And they talked about, like, when they would be at the VA, they would, you know, ask if you had thought of killing yourself or suicide, right? But they only answered the question. They say no, right? Why do you think they would say no? Because if you said yes, they're going to send you right downstairs to the psych ward. And I think that's why a lot of people will not admit that they have had thoughts of suicide or recent thoughts of suicide or any suicidal thoughts because they would be afraid that they'd be locked up, even when it's probably mild. But no one wants to talk about it. And I can speak from experience when I was not only in my teenage years, but I'm talking about 18 to 21, maybe 22, 23, 24, maybe till I was in my 30, okay? You don't want to say that because it raises bells. It raises alarm bells. And I think the way that they treat the higher functioning autistic population, and I say higher, I'm not saying high functioning. I hate those labels, but they have comorbid conditions now. Dual diagnosis. It's starting to get into the lexicon about freaking time. But the problem is that the way that these people work, it's like the cure of autism with a lot of the ABA therapies. It's almost that similar vein when I was in my, again, I had really wild depression when I was like 16 to 21 to 22. Okay? You wouldn't want to say that you would kill yourself because they would literally pick up the phone and call possibly 911 or the 7-digit quasi-emergency number to say this guy's going to kill himself and we got to send him to a psych ward. So you want to have an open dialogue before it gets too late, right? Before someone causes harm or someone that's... You want them to be open without punishing them. And so when you say that you have thoughts of suicide, like, not in the last 24, 48, maybe, you know, whatever, the problem is you cannot, I'm losing my train of thought right now. But basically, you know, you're causing a combative relationship with your mental health professional, and it's not fixing the problems. It just makes things worse. And I think it's a huge issue that people need to talk about because we can prevent suicides if we're proactive. Because if you're thinking about ending your life, that's a reactive. And this whole system of helping people with mental health or emotional handicaps, developmental delays. Get it right, Stephen. It's a huge problem. And no one wants to talk about this. And I think that hurts the individual. It's causing this crisis. We shouldn't have to wait till it's too late to put another 3-digit number in our phone, in our national phone network that isn't like what it was back when Ma Bell ran. It was as easy because, we got all these phone companies. Here's another thing I want to bring up. If you call the National Suicide Hotline and somebody in your life knows that you call that number, what's going to happen? Or 911 for that matter. My mother today, I got a bunch of phone calls from, this is kind of a separate issue. Sweetwater, this is where I got my equipment, my cabling, right? They've called my number, my cell number, a few times since the order, which was it 3 or 4 weeks ago now. And, that's great. I appreciate it. Like, I don't even have a login. I was using my Apple ID and Apple Pay. I love my Apple Pay. I use a Touch ID. I know that's so 2016, but so I called them up this morning. I know it was, they're probably out of the office. So I left a voice message because I had to get ready for the day today. So I tell my mother the story, and she's like, "I know." I'm like, "How do you know?" Because I saw the phone log. So don't get me started with that. That would be a discussion for another day. How to respect privacy at call logs, and especially if you're not privy to know who's calling. That sounds like a stalker thing, right? A stalker would, like, it's the hot chick analogy, right? So what happens if I call 911 or 988? But I was gonna know. Because we upgraded our business class to our phone lines as well. Thank you to the fucking Carey's Law legislation. No, or nine to dial 911 in an enterprise setting, and anyone, I think it was the other law that the FCC put in, but basically, any type of 911 that was called in a business, the operator's number or, has an app to the business class gets, it's like crisis alert. Crisis alert was a feature on the Avaya PBX, the big one, the big Definity type system. And anyone who would dial an emergency number in its call, the call routing would alert the attendant. And what it would do is the phone, if you had the 302, it's actually, oh, again, it's out of the shot here. The thing would beep like crazy because someone dialed an emergency number. Now, the reason why I say an emergency number, because when this PBX was developed in 1984, not every place had 911. Some still had 7-digit numbers. So if any number that matched the emergency number would alert the consult. So with this freaking Carey's Law, which again, if anyone who's been living in a rock for the last 10 years, a Texas woman basically got slaughtered by a man who they were at a hotel or motel in Texas, and they were estranged. That actually says it in the Carey's Law foils from Avaya, Nortel, I mean Hortel. And so what happened was this guy that this estranged husband, or I don't know if they were an ex or what, just decided to slaughter Carrie Hunt. And so the kids were traumatized for rightful reasons, but they were taught, a couple years before in kindergarten to call 911. It's they're doing what they were told, 911. But this is a hotel or motel, it's a different environment. As you get older, things get more complex. Not that calling 911 is complex. So they call the number. Yeah, long story short, the woman dies because the delay to call 911 was delayed because the kids didn't know how to press like the emergency button or what. So as the white grievance worked, because the father carrying on was so angry that this phone system was, they framed the PBX or the key system killed the woman. That was a fucking crazy man. Because from what I read about the incident, it was like this guy should have been freaking locked up, but he didn't. So Texas put the most conservative, anti-government state in the country, put the most restrictive rules in enterprise communications. And it got it to the FCC, and on Valentine's, or approximately, the law started to get signed into law by POTUS Trump, who's, we all know he's a misogynist, woman hater. And pied off at the FCC, trusted everything Avaya said, and this law comes into place. So, kind of long story short, this what you said require a million-dollar phone system to sell with everybody that has business class. So I'm not going to tell you when I felt this feeling, but I was sometime before the start of the pandemic and this now, I contemplated calling emergency services. But I could have called from my desk phone because I didn't want to alert the phone that the 911 call was placed. Because she gets a text alert, the push notification, because that's part of the freaking carry law. Shit. So, what else was I supposed to call my cell phone and then hope that they'll come to my house and be able to talk with the telecommunicator? You know, it's like, what do you do? And there's absolutely no way to kind of set. It's. I think this is adding more problems with this over legislation, and it's just worth checking out of high technology. I think we should have a discussion. So I'm going to end it there. So I don't want to get too depressing. But I really want to actually talk about these issues. Because I think we need to have a dialogue. You know, we shouldn't have. If you're for blue lives, why are we accepting that people are killing themselves at the U.S. Capitol Police? Because, oh, it doesn't make sense. Are you guys nuts? Mr. X is on the line. Mr. X, you're on the Weekly Zoo. What say you?
Okay. Hi. So, are you familiar with the way the 911 system works in New York State?
All right. So, this is the minifigure world that I sometimes call home. Yeah, there's four call centers statewide, correct?
Okay. Hi. Yeah, broadcast isn't around anymore than you went to the state. So, there's.
Can he hear me? Okay. So there's three now. Blockchester. I thought Blockchester had, I thought we had four. We had Metro, Blockchester, because it was 300,000 people, Mini Brick City, and Mini Brick State. So we're down to three?
Yep.
Yikes. That's not good.
If your other half was having a mental problem, they could have called out 911
on it. Oh, so so what do you mean? They have, like, the mental health, like, they're able to respond to mental health emergencies?
Yep.
Yikes, that's interesting.
So if your other half was...
Okay, so how do you know all this?
It was 2 years ago when they did the rebuild of the 911 app. Center.
Okay, and that's when they implemented it?
From my understanding, they basically did, I guess, like market research. I know it sounds weird, but they did some research and they looked at the different needs. And because in Miniland, it's run by the fire department, The 911 call, it's hit on FD Mini. As in,
okay,
the
right.
Radio dispatch is at the Miniland Police Department.
Okay, so Miniland, so FD Mini handles the telephones and police handles dispatch for all agencies, is that correct?
So they kind of got their telecommunicators trained, and now...
Right.
I guess the last couple of years now that they are using this solution. But I was actually the integrationist for the city a couple of years ago.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yep.
So what did you do?
So they're all cloud-based.
What? They're so that's pretty ballsy.
Yeah. Well, it's not in the public cloud. There is a clouded, undisclosed location, and it's a geo-redundant. It's within the Miniland County lines.
Interesting.
And, I don't know what we did. Yeah, the club is a pretty it's a pretty reliable solution. A lot of people will say, oh, it's the club, it's bad. But one of the advantages is that if, you know, we have, if there's ever an emergency, you can warm up a couple computers at a location and, basically handle the calls there.
Okay.
And the backup facility, the conference rooms or whatever. With COVID, there were people that were working at different dispatches.
Like you have a VPN connection?
There's 20 telecommunicators at 2 geographic locations.
Oh my God, 220 in a city of 4 million? That is like 3.5 times the New Hampshire population. That's crazy.
So they
that is so crazy.
So they're all cloud based.
Yikes. That
yeah, well it's not
hold on.
Yeah, well it's not in the public cloud, there is a clouded, undisclosed location, and it's at geo-redundant. It's within...
Geo-redundant. Okay. Yeah, that's crazy that a city, which is crazy. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the cloud is it's a pretty reliable solution. A lot of people will say, oh, it's the cloud, it's bad. But one of the advantages is that if, you know, we have, if there's ever an emergency, well, remember, many land is like Manhattan, but it sleeps. So, but if really, there's really something wrong with the city, if the 911 system gets overlogged, there's dispatchers at the precincts that can take the call or basically work, take some of the calls, and then it can easily be bridged back to the dispatch center if they really need to. But it's designed to be reliable, and I know people are going to piss on the cloud because that's what they love to do best, but we did it very responsibly in many ways.
So how does the dispatch system work?
Yeah, it works. I mean, they haven't had problems because...
Really?
They designed it, and remember, too, that the dispatch centers... or at least the call centers, the phone and the dispatch systems are together, and they can basically take, it's all in that one unit. And, of course, there is, like, a landline phone in case there's a failure, but even that, there's redundancy built in.
Do they have phones so they can call the other people?
Yeah, they have a lot of generic VoIP phones.
Okay.
Yeah, they went to Avaya. It was just upon. Yeah, when they did the switch over, they ditched Avaya and went on their own solution. And
because Manyland was an Avaya shop.
Remember, Manyland.
Manyland was an Avaya shop, from my understanding. At least half the city was tied to Avaya. And I know the call centers were all Avaya because they were the best of breed at the time.
It works.
It works.
For Miniland, they did a very holistic approach, and I think they've not had problems.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah, sure. You want to know? Yeah.
Can I put you on hold and my producer can get a hold of you, because this is kind of interesting, because obviously I worked for the state and I did communications for the state. Yeah, you remember my name.
You made a career change getting out of the blockhead of DeSantis and the name of the state.
Yeah, John Broderbrick, what a dickhead.
I'm sorry for your... both your losses of your job and your loved one, but but here in Miniland, you could be safe that there are people there that would take your call, and there's redundancies built in, and I know you love your redundancies.
I love your redundancies. Thank you, Mr. X. Thank you, Mr. X, for the call. So you want to know how the weekly zoo came to be? It's good. It's a good segue, isn't it? We'll try to turn the story around. So about 3 years ago, I was one of the state employees for the Mini Brick State Government. I didn't work for the public safety. Is oh my god, the state police, which was branded at, or it was the Department of Safety. Now it's rebranded as the state police because they wanted more sway in rebranding the agency, and then they demoted to safety as a division. I don't know if I was at the state at that time, but it was like a 3-letter agency. It was like cryptic as fuck. I mean, they were secure. They were secure as hell. And we were the civilian agencies where, if God forbid something happened to us, we were left to our own resources. But unfortunately, the agency got very political. I was almost fired the first time around when I relocated to the capital region. So basically, Manyland's like Manhattan and Copenhagen's like Albany. So I basically went to Albany for all intents and purposes. And so the department head that we had at the time, the guy I was reporting to at networking, this guy was like a complete dick. He was, the guy was like, "Oh, SDS is so cool. You don't believe it? SDS, you're fired." And I was this close to getting fired. Then the blizzard of 2015 happened, where the state house got imploded with all the snow, and the state house tower got collapsed. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, because then we had to rebuild the state house. But part of my job at the time was to try to get the state to unified communications, get the entire core network. But every time we tried to put voice over IP onto our network, there was always this blockage. It turned out that our core network was so freaking outdated. We had like the big ass Cisco 10,000, that big mini refrigerator. It's not even the one that fits in the rack. It was this big freaking old, like, it didn't have a good throughput. So we had to replace the core routing and switching. And I had to do a lot of research. We didn't have disaster continuity like we do now. And that was part of my job. And again, unified communications is a very specific application. Yeah, it involves more, you know, networking. Yeah, it requires more PC stuff. But, I mean, it's like Exchange, right? You gotta know email to make Exchange work good, right? You gotta have that. So I had the skills, but what happened was the IT agency I worked for was getting cut. And I don't know if I was working as a bureau or office, but the agency was cut to the bone. It was like small as hell, and they wanted to get the state network to be as secure as the uniform, the public safety. So they basically got rid of most of the people in the IS department. We were all let go like 2 days before Christmas, in 2018, and the reason why I'm doing the weekly zoo is because I did not put myself in a union position. If I had a union position, yeah, my head would get chopped off, but I would be entitled to benefits after a lawsuit that's still stuck in the court system. What the hell is it with the Mini Brick State Unified Court System and the fucking lawyers that run the show there? I think the SEIU is still litigating benefits related to layoffs 2.5 to almost 3 years ago. But the problem was, I was not unionized. So in 2019, I started doing click-through media services. It didn't really take off until this year. And the Weekly Zoo was going to be this little side project. So the whole idea of IT and IS operations kind of went to the wayside. Because again, it was just it was such a freaking political shit show. I mean, I think the Copenhagen Courier called it Black Friday. And then, like, the weekend before New Year's of 2019, there was another 1,500 that got laid off. So the state was, like, getting rid of, like, at least 5,000 statewide employees that got tried to get litigated because these were considered essential jobs. We're not here to, you know, cuddle to the governor, because really, John Broderbrick is, like, a mini-me Donald Trump. He was a guy that was making Mini Brick Street great again. And this guy was a freaking loose cannon. And we the ones who, no matter what political spectrum we were on, we were working to help the minifigures in our state. You know, we have a lot of agencies. Okay, we have a state of 8 million minifigures. With, you know, half of it's in a city, which is governed by the city, but the rest is governed by the state. So for, you know, 30,000 statewide employees for a state that's kind of similar to the physical shape of New Hampshire, and with a little island on the ocean and multiple big cities in between all the hick towns, yeah, you gotta have a government that size. Because I think the statewide 911 center, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's six, if I'm not mistaken, we had licenses up to 60 minifigures that could handle between both Narnia, which is where the state police is located, and Clickard, which is in Mainland County, ironically. So, like what Mr. X said, 911 answers to three different call centers in the state of the 8 million minifigures. And only the one in the city is trying to do mental health emergencies. So what would you do if someone was feeling helpless? Would you call 911? Would you call 988? What do you do in that situation? And I think it's a really good question to ask people. I think we need to kind of change the narrative, so to speak. Come up on the. I'm going to take some more calls. I don't think LNR is going to come on tonight because I'm approaching 9:58. I started a little bit late and kind of went in a long winded conversation. So I'm going to do the ClickPhone scam and I'm going to play that out now. I got it up on the screen here. There we go. I think this is the one. Yeah, this is the one. The ClickPhone scam. It's brought to you by Protecting Your Ass. What do I need to say more? Let's start it right now. This is where a planning department calls a woman because she has a mini brick state, or similarly a mini brick state flag out of her door. Talk about local patriotism. And she's pissed off because the city was playing a ClickPhone scam. Let's go now.
Hello?
Hi, is this Charlie?
Yes.
This is Bernie Potter from the Community Development Department. How are you?
Yes.
Okay, we received a complaint that you are hanging a flag outside your apartment that is offending your neighbor.
What?
Nope, it's against town ordinances.
No, the head of the department said I could hang a flag. What the fuck are they thinking?
Nope, no. The town ordinance supersedes the apartment authority.
What the f*** are you saying?
Nope.
You have the authority. You're from the city? What?
Nope, you're inaccurate. I'm sorry. You have to take down your flag by the end of this week.
Oh, this is a f***ing joke.
Yeah.
Why do you keep f***ing calling me? You don't know what you're talking about.
I'm the city official here. I have every right to call you if you're in non-compliance to...
No, it's freaking bullshit.
The town ordinances on the planning department.
No, it's freaking bullshit.
Nope, it's a violation, so you have to another week.
I got permission. I have a letter from the head of my apartment community that says I can hang a flag if I want to. The city flag and the state flag. I hang the state flag.
Nope, sorry. It's...
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Nope, it's a town ordinance.
But you don't know anything. You're just some incompetent hack. Fuck you. Why do you keep calling me?
I don't know why you're swearing at me, but... The thing is, we have to get you in non-compliance. So I'm going to transfer you over to the code enforcement officer who's gonna follow up on this.
Okay, that's it. I'm gonna call the cops right now. I'm a witness.
Who is Shelly.
She's my neighbor.
You told me to click phone scam you. This is a click phone scam.
What?
It's a joke. It's a prank on the Weekly Zoo.
A click phone scam?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm gonna shoot that bitch. This is not funny. I was teasing this a few weeks ago, and you calling me and scamming like this. You're bad. You're such a bad influence.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. The click phone scam is brought to you by FromTechYourAssClickFor.net. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back on the other side. This is the Weekly Zoo.